F1 women are having their fall gathering. That's going to be over in Warroad at Zion Lutheran. Coffee and registration is from 9 to 10. You do not have to pre-register. And they're going to have a morning program with Stacy Brandt speaking on travels to Saudi Arabia, which should be interesting. Also, just a reminder to our families who have ninth graders that will be confirmed later this month. We need those faith statements and the additional requested information and pictures by this Tuesday, October 15th. We'll have a rehearsal next Sunday at 6:30. So if you have any questions, just let me know, and we look forward to that affirmation of baptism service on October 27th. So it is basket raffle season. It's that time when the ladies bring in beautiful baskets for us to think about gift giving or just a gift to ourselves. And those basket raffle donations are due by Saturday, October 26th. They'll be setting up at 10 a.m. And then on Confirmation Sunday, the 27th, will be our first look at all the beautiful baskets. We thank you to all who support this Welka fundraiser. There are a number of ways to give that we uplift, and of course it's fall fun drive season. You've maybe noticed the apple tree out in the narthex close to my office door. For every $500 that comes in for the fall fun drive, we add another apple. So you can count the apples as they are added to the tree. The other thing I'll just uplift for you that's in the bulletin is Lutheran Disaster Response. Of course, our hearts and minds have been going out to all the people who have suffered so much in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and Milton. It's reassuring to know that there's already a Lutheran presence on the ground seeking to help and provide for those in need. You can either give to Mo with a designation in the memo, or just make out your check and send it directly to Lutheran Disaster Response. Or there is a QR code that you could scan and give online as well. There are so many announcements that there's two that I had to put on a post-it note. So I just want to let you know that once again, there is Mo apparel available for purchase out in the narthex. Kathy Wenzloff is here. She can help you navigate the online store for Transfers Unlimited. They are selling Mo apparel. They also have Mosiah youth apparel. You'll see that on Facebook, if you're a Facebook person, it is pinned to the top of our Facebook page for that Mosiah apparel. But you can either do it online or here in person with Kathy throughout these Sundays of October. One other announcement that is just kind of, I just spontaneously decided to do this, and that's why it's not in the bulletin. But on Mondays at 9:30 a.m., I'm just going to lead a little guided time of scripture and prayer. There's so much going on in our world right now, and I just feel led to pray and gather with those who are available at that time. We did have a little spontaneous meeting starting on this past week once we got home from vacation, and we just decided, hey, whoever's available can meet on Mondays at 9:30. We're going to switch back and forth, so tomorrow we'll be meeting at Mosiah in the gathering room, and then we'll be coming back to Mo the following Monday. The complete schedule will be in the bulletin this upcoming week, and I also put it up on Facebook. All right, I'm going to be quiet now so that we can actually start our worship service and look forward to that turkey following. Let's turn together to our call to worship. Blessed are you, Lord our God. Glorious is your name in all the earth. We celebrate who you are and all that you have done for us. You hold our lives in your hands and catch us when we stumble. Led by your Spirit, we come together to worship and sing your praise. We come to confess our mistakes and receive your loving mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be present among us as we worship and open ourselves to your word. To you be all glory, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing hymn number 876. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together. God, who answers prayer, you promise to always hear us when we call to you in our time of deepest longing. Help us come before you with the trust of a child in a loving parent. Receive our gratitude for your listening ear and your abundant kindness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we pause now to hear the handbells offer some special music.
Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 86, 1 through 7 and 11. As I read, please respond in the bold. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me your undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Today's verse is Hannah's song of praise for answered prayer. It's 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your joy. There is no Holy One like the Lord, no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful one, but the wicked will perish in darkness, for not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries will be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There comes a time when the best way to convey God's truths is with a story. So this morning, I want to invite you to imagine in your mind's eye what it would be to be Hannah, a woman of prayer, who made a promise in faith that changed her and others in ways no one could have predicted. As our story begins, the long-awaited day had come at last. The day Hannah would finally get to see her son Samuel for the first time since last year. Every fall, Hannah and her family would make the pilgrimage from their home in Ramah to the city of Shiloh for the Feast of Tabernacles. This annual festival was one of three celebrations observed by the Hebrew people. And to be sure, Hannah, as a woman of faith, recognized the importance of this great festival of thanksgiving to God. But at the forefront of her mind this year was not the festival. It was the opportunity to finally see her son Samuel. Oh, how she had missed him. Even though Shiloh was only 12 miles away from Ramah, the narrow, treacherous road leading to Shiloh made travel slow. This trip, though, the travel was agonizingly sluggish because Hannah could hardly wait to hold Samuel in her arms again at long last. Now you can fully read Hannah's story in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, but let me give you a bit of background to help you understand why this mother was separated from her son. Hannah had been on many pilgrimages to Shiloh throughout her life. As a girl, she would have come with her parents and played with her friends along the journey's way. As a young bride, married to a gracious man named Elkanah, Hannah had spent many happy hours socializing with the other wives gathered at the community well. But as the years passed, that annual pilgrimage was beginning to lose its appeal for Hannah. You see, God's faithful people had gathered for generations at Shiloh to offer gifts of thanksgiving for the annual harvest. But Hannah, she felt she had no harvest to celebrate. Truth be told, Hannah had remained childless for all her married life. And now, these last few years, her husband Elkanah had taken for himself another wife named Peninnah in order to provide him with the blessing of children that would become the security they both could enjoy in their old age. Well, for a woman like Hannah, remaining childless as she was, proved to be constantly hurtful, as you can imagine. Whenever the playful laughter of Peninnah's children fell upon her ears, or when she saw her husband bouncing on his knees, a child that should have been hers. To have no child was not only a disappointment, but in the Hebrew culture of that day, it marked Hannah as dishonored by God. Maybe each yearly pilgrimage could have been endured if Peninnah's mouth wasn't as productive as her womb. No doubt Peninnah knew how to give Hannah's husband joy through children, but Peninnah also knew even better how to give Hannah pain. How vividly Hannah could still recall her misery just 5 years ago. That year, Hannah's pain was particularly acute. especially when the trips to Shiloh's well had given Peninnah the chance to make Hannah an object of ridicule like never before. Now, you need to know that the women gathering at the town well, it was a place for laughter and storytelling, but as you can imagine, a place for gossip as well. For years, Hannah had enjoyed this time of socializing, but this year, the gossip no longer was with Hannah, it was about Hannah. She noticed Peninnah at the center of the group, leading everyone and whispering glances toward poor, childless Hannah. Elkanah tried to do what he could to soothe his wife's unhappiness. In fact, that year, much to Peninnah's disgust, at the celebratory meal, in order to comfort his most treasured wife, Hannah, Elkanah gave to Hannah a double portion of the meat served. Because meat was seldom eaten in a Hebrew household, this was a profound sign and gesture of Elkanah's love for Hannah. But this loving act didn't make a bit of difference to Hannah. She had lost her appetite. She could hardly even bring herself to eat that meal that day. So overwhelmed she was, holding back tears of deep sadness. She could have cared less about grain, grapes, or livestock that year at the Thanksgiving feast. She wanted to know the joy and abundance of raising a child. Finally, when she could no longer hide her tears, Hannah began sobbing uncontrollably at the feasting table. Poor Elkanah felt utterly helpless, asking Hannah, "Why are you so sad? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Through her sobs, I can imagine Hannah sending a glaring look at her foolish husband, which must have pierced him like a knife. With that, she ran off, the meal growing cold on her plate. Wandering aimlessly throughout the encampment of her fellow pilgrims, Hannah found herself standing at the door of the tabernacle. Now, this was the holy place where God dwelt among the people. As she stood there, feeling numb inside, her eyes swollen and red, Hannah began to spew out from her distressed heart the pain and disappointment and frustration she had felt for so long. "Why, God? Why me? Why must I bear this disgrace? Where have I failed you? Why must I continually endure the abuse of Peninnah's sharp tongue? Don't you care about me? Please hear my cry, Lord, and give me a child." Over and over, Hannah poured out her heart, and then she made a heartfelt promise to God. She said in Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, "Lord Almighty, look at me, your servant. See my trouble and remember me. Don't forget me. If you give me a son, I promise that I will dedicate him to you for his whole life." In that very instance, while pouring out her heart, Hannah suddenly realized someone besides God was listening to her as well. For Eli the priest had been near the doorway of God's house all along, watching in silence as this distraught Hannah stood mumbling to herself. And so finally Eli speaks, "Woman, stop making a drunken show of yourself." Startled by this voice, Hannah looked toward its source, and seeing that it was old Eli the priest, Hannah knew he had no clue about her plight. With firmness, she corrected Eli. I am not drunk, sir. I have been praying, pouring out my troubles to the Lord. Thankfully, Eli not only accepted her response, but sent her away with a blessing. The tone of his blessing left Hannah with the strange feeling that her prayerful plea had been heard at last. An inner peace built on a foundation of trust in God lifted her from that moment onward. It became the answer she was seeking all along. And so, with a peace-filled smile spreading across her lips that day, Hannah looked lovingly down the road leading to Shiloh. As this year's caravan of pilgrims made their way toward God's house and toward her son, who now served in the temple. With each dutiful step, Hannah could barely stifle a joyous giggle as she called to mind the amazing sequence of events that unfolded after that time of prayer. Before the return of the next annual Thanksgiving festival in Shiloh, Hannah had indeed become pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, which literally means God has heard. Hannah excused herself from the pilgrimage to Shiloh that year and the next, as well as the next, for she was busy nurturing and raising up this precious gift of a son. True to her promise, Hannah lovingly prepared Samuel for his future as a servant to the priest in the temple. She taught him the rudiments of a trusting faith in God, instructed him in the truths of God's creative power and God's faithful provision for and commitment to his people. She spent hours telling Samuel stories about how God had delivered his children from bondage in Egypt, how God provided for them in their wilderness times, and the way God guided his beloved ones to the promised land. This attentive mother nurtured a deep awareness of the faith legacy that belonged to their people, that belonged to Samuel. And she ensured that he knew of God's faithfulness to these greats of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And then Hannah added her own life witness to that litany of faith stories, sharing her personal struggle of doubt and despair and her prayerful plea to God for what she needed, concluding with her promise to dedicate Samuel back to God. Yes, it seemed still a bit unreal for Hannah. After all, who in their right mind would dedicate to God their own child who'd willingly make the promise she'd made to God that day and then follow through with it, leaving her own son behind? Friends, I think this is the point of Hannah's story for us. For living a life of faith is not a matter of just mind, but a matter of the heart, and sometimes a struggle of the heart. In everything we do, everything we say we are, is this relationship of heart between ourselves and God. A relationship of the heart built on choices we make every day, bringing our vulnerable and broken selves to God, choosing to believe that God would provide what we need, even when we sometimes can't see it. For all of us, there indeed comes a time in life when health fails, when relationships falter, when hope flees when life reaches its final moment? And where will we look for peace, for provision, for promise? To whom shall we go for guidance? Hannah turned to God and discovered, perhaps to her surprise, that she wasn't as far from God's attentions toward her as she believed. And what I find even more remarkable is that Hannah's response to God in faith can have an impact on us yet today. For our faithful response to God has potential to be just as life-changing. And to that I say, amen. May it be so for each of us. The scripture passage that Kathy read for us a short time ago was Hannah's response of prayer to God after receiving the gift of Samuel. And so we're going to move into a time of prayer, just reflecting on God's abilities to provide for our needs. I am going to point out one typo on page 4, my bad, right there at the bottom. Your response, may our lives will bring glory and honor. Well, that just doesn't make sense. May our lives bring glory and honor to you. So I'll just point that out. Let's join in this time of prayer. Oh God, you are a God of compassion and love. Time after time, we've experienced your care and provision. Time after time, you've answered prayers and met our needs, often in ways we could never have dreamed possible. We praise you for your faithful love toward us. We come to you with confidence, offering prayers for a hurting world. We see so much pain and suffering, so much anger and frustration and despair. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the needs around us. Yet we continue to bring our prayers to you in faith because we know that nothing is impossible for you. You are the God who rained down bread from heaven and made water flow from a rock in the desert, the God who resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead and who brings new life and hope to all who believe. For you, all things are possible. Hear our prayers. We pray for those suffering the effects of recent natural disasters. Because nothing is impossible for you, O God, we pray, Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. We pray for the regions of our world caught up in violence and threats of violence. Because nothing is impossible for you, O God, we pray. Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. We pray for those who live with serious illness, for those with chronic pain, for those without access to proper medical care, for those for whom treatment is no longer an option. Because nothing is impossible for you, O God, we pray, Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. Merciful God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to show us a different way to live, the way of deep humility and obedience. You've called us to love one another and to work together with one heart and mind, balancing our needs with the needs of those around us. Give us courage to follow faithfully and with integrity, with actions that bear witness to the words we speak, and worship that overflows into our daily tasks and relationships. May our lives bring glory and honor to you, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we gather our offering gifts, we will enjoy more music by our handbells. Please rise. Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Please join with me in our post-communion prayer. Gracious God, at this table, your promise of life becomes tangible. We have rested in the depth of your love. We have tasted your nourishing, nurturing presence. At this table, you have offered us your very self. By your grace, we accept the life you offer and give you thanks. Amen. Receive now these words in benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Since we will be going out from here to enjoy our meal, let us sing the table prayer.
Be present at our table, Lord. Be here and everywhere, O Lord. These mercies bless and grant that we may feast in paradise.
Since we go to enjoy a feast, we've had a feast, now we get to enjoy a turkey feast, let's stand and sing, "All Who Hunger Gather Gladly." Lord.